Revenge! The Boston Celtics get back at the Toronto Raptors and get their first home win. Talking about it right now on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Rainy J's back with the vengeance at all the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine. Whatever it is that you're doing right now, thank you for including the Locked On Celtics podcast and making Locked On Celtics your first listen every day. I'm John Corrales. I cover the team for Boston Sports Journal, and I've written a book called The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, which you can get now wherever books are sold. Today's show is brought to you by McDonald's. Locked On Celtics brought to you by McDonald's today, proudly serving communities since 1965. McDonald's has always been more than just a place to get tasty, affordable food. It's an unofficial community center. Big thank you to our friends at McDonald's for always being there. I'm loving it, and I'm loving a Boston Celtics win, 104-88 over the Toronto Raptors. Like I said at the in the cold open, revenge of sorts for the Boston Celtics. Not really. I mean, there's not a ton of revenge, you know, the only revenge the Celtics got was basically on themselves because they sucked in the first Toronto game. It's not Toronto's fault, but here they are, 104-88. A nice kind of steady flow in the first half. I thought the Celtics did a great job coming out, and despite Tatum not hitting shots, he was doing a lot early on, outscored the Raptors 33-25 in the first quarter. It was a very balanced attack. It felt good to see the Celtics out there playing the way they were playing. It was Tatum passing a lot early. It was just everybody being involved. It was a nice attack early on. Second quarter, I thought there was a key stretch here from Al Horford. You know me. I love to say, clutch plays don't have to come in the fourth quarter. You know, people talk about the clutch, which is the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter of a close game. Like, yeah, obviously that's clutch. But there are so many different areas in a game where clutch plays can happen. And I thought early in the second quarter, when the Raptors had gone on a 6-0 run to cut it to two, Al Horford responds. He hits a little jump hook. Then he comes down the next possession on the defensive possession, and slides over, provides great help. When they look at that in the film session on Thursday morning, that's going to be, I think, a point of emphasis. Al Horford's help on a drive, cut off a shot at the rim. It got kicked out to Fred VanVleet, who had to rush a three-point shot. He missed. The Celtics, ultimately, a couple possessions later, scored again. 6-0 run is answered, and Boston ended up winning that quarter by eight. They won the first quarter by eight. Now it's a 16-point halftime lead. Now Toronto really has their work cut out for them. I thought Horford's play there in the first quarter and in the second quarter, early in the second quarter, was a clutch play or a clutch stretch because it helped the Celtics kind of get back on track and extend the lead versus when they, you know, normally the Celtics would blow that lead. We talk about good teams don't let other teams go on 9-0 runs, 12-0 runs. They stop it at 6-0. That's what this was. It was a 6-0 run that got stopped. And big play there from Al Horford. They got sloppy in the third quarter, Dennis Schroeder especially, but they were able to kind of hold on in the third. It was an ugly quarter for, I think, both teams in some ways because Toronto definitely should have had a bigger run in the third quarter. They just could never pull away. Then in the fourth quarter, it was Tatum and Smart coming in. Tatum was really instrumental in shutting down that Raptors kind of comeback and putting the game away, which was great. Tatum, I thought, obviously was the star of the game. He finished the night with 22 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists, a steal, just 2 turnovers. for him. Didn't shoot great, 8 of 24, so 33%. 3 of 7 from 3, that's fine, it's 43%. 3 of 4 from the line, you still want to see him get to the line a little bit more, but in this year's NBA, that might be kind of the standard, 5, 6 maybe. Maybe you get a couple more. But the rebounding, especially Tatum's rebounding, has been great this year. The assists, these were great assists. Like, the first 3 assists from Tatum were the exact same play. Drive from the left, collapse the defense, kick to the right corner. Schroeder got 1, Romeo Langford got 2. Exact, like literally the exact same play. You could do that video trick where you lay them all on top of each other. If I could show you highlights on the YouTube video, I would. But if you lay them all on top of each other, Tatum did the exact same thing, driving from the left, getting in the middle, you'd see the entire defense collapse. The shooter's in the exact same spot in the right corner. It was beautiful. Then, you know, he has a couple of nice assists. The one on the pass to Smart, it was a beautiful cut from Smart. Yay, a cutting basket for the Celtics. The cut from Smart was great. Tatum found him, was really nice. And I think between that one and an assist later to Rob, Tatum, like, interior passing, getting to the rim, getting challenged, and finding a guy, like, right there. Those types of passes I love. Anything you can do in traffic the way Tatum did was great. He also had a couple assists. 2 of those assists were late in the fourth quarter or mid-fourth quarter, which were, you talk about clutch plays. Here come the Toronto Raptors still trying to, you know, fight, because that's what they do. They fight. And they cut it down to like 9. They cut it to single digits. And here comes Tatum. Here comes Smart. Smart on the defensive end makes a steal, wins a jump ball against OG Anunoby, and makes those plays. Tatum, meanwhile, drops a dime to, I think it was Schroeder, then hits a 3, then hits Rob, or maybe the Rob and the Schroeder ones were reversed. But Tatum just comes in. It's like assist, 3, assist, boom, done. So even though he didn't shoot well, I thought he obviously played really, really well. I'm so impressed over the past few games with Tatum and the types of passes that he's throwing. This is, I think, the difference between Tatum in these past few games versus the first few games. It's much more under control. He is getting into the teeth of the defense. He's kicking the ball. I think Tatum has been challenged by Ime Udoka, and hell, he was challenged by Marcus Smart. And what's he doing? I think Tatum is responding. Like, Tatum, I think, has a real good knack for, like, he's going to absorb what was said. Whether you think that what Marcus Smart said was the right thing to say, or whether it was the right time to say it or not, he's going to absorb what was said. These guys all got together and they talked about it. And here he is making those plays. So huge. Also, before I take a break, Rob was just amazing, especially early on in this game. He finished with 16 points, 13 rebounds, 8 offensive rebounds, 5 defensive rebounds. Now, he's averaging just about 9 rebounds per game, and it's split basically evenly. It's I think it was like 4.4, low 4-point something for offensive rebounds, high 4-point something for his defensive rebounds. That's amazing for Rob that he is performing like that. Like, he's getting in there, he's crashing the glass. Ime Udoka says, hey, look, we had a conversation early in their season. He was passive in the dunker spot, which dunker spot is, if you don't know, maybe you do know because you listen to basketball podcasts, but dunker spot along the baseline, kind of a little off outside the lane. It's called the dunker spot because when a guy drives and then dumps it off, this is the guy who gets it and dunks the ball. It's a pretty obvious thing to call it. But if you're passive in the dunker spot, you're not really putting yourself in position to do anything else, because it's not just the drive and dish and you're waiting for a dump off. It's the drive. The guy's going to take a challenged layup. You, as the guy in the dunker spot, has to come over and, hey, why not get in there, try and get the offensive rebound? You're down there anyway. You might as well do it. And he did it. 8 offensive rebounds. His first 4 baskets were putbacks, which was just feasting. He was feasting on the boards. Rob, I'm starting to see the evolution here. Like, the first few games, I said, if you're listening to the previous podcast, first few games, I was like, huh, he's got the toughest adjustment to make on this team with all of the switching. Now, the switching has been dialed back. He can play a little bit more in his drop coverage, his normal drop coverage. And I think he's picked up on the switching for sure. The Celtics said, Udoka said, this is not how it's always going to go. Trust me, we're going to implement new stuff. They did implement new stuff. And I think Rob is starting to kind of feel his way through all of those adjustments. And we're seeing it. Maybe it's not what we thought it was going to be from Rob. He only had one assist. And I thought it was going to be a lot more passing from him this year. But he's adjusting and adjusting well. And I think it's only going to serve him well moving forward, because we already know that passing is there. This stuff is there now too. I'm starting to see it, and I'll try to dive more into it as the weeks go on, but I'm starting to see what this puzzle piece looks like with Robert Williams. I'm going to get back and talk about Marcus Smart and Dennis Schroeder, who had, I believe it was a weird game. I don't know what you might think, but I think Dennis Schroeder's game was kind of weird. We'll talk about that in a minute. First, BetOnline is back and better than ever with a new web interface for the start of basketball season, with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head on over with the updated desktop and mobile website. Sign up today with the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Remember, that promo code is locked on to get your bonus. Basketball, football, NHL, boxing, UFC, your favorite Vegas casino games are all there at BetOnline. It is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Please gamble responsibly. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. Hey, thanks for making Locked On Celtics your first listen every day. Make sure you're listening to the Locked On NBA podcast as well. I host it on Wednesdays with Jake Madison. Hopefully you caught our Wednesday show there. Rotating hosts all week. Check them out wherever podcasts exist, on YouTube as well. Let's get back to this Celtics 104-88 win over the Toronto Raptors. Big defensive performance here. 88 points. The Celtics are really, in fact, as I'm talking, why don't I just click on over here on the stats and see as I go. Let's see. Sortable team stats on NBA.com and do my advanced. And let's just see, after holding the Raptors to 88 points, where the Celtics fit defensively. Oh, look, they're 10th now defensively. And that negative net rating is still negative, but it's at only 0.3. So almost even as far as net rating goes. Offense, which was in the 20s before, it's still 23rd. Okay, still not all the way up there. But defensively, the Celtics have moved into the top 10. Tied with the San Antonio Spurs, just behind the Utah Jazz. So slowly, we're moving in the right direction here. We're seeing these guys move in the right direction. Marcus Smart, I thought, was really good defensively in this one. Not just with the three steals, but just overall. You watch him in person, and I like to focus on certain things during the games, and I spend a lot of time, like, let me just really look at Marcus Smart. I spent a lot of time talking about Marcus Smart and how I think something might be bothering him and how I think his role might be an issue. But I'm looking at him on the floor. I'm looking at him on the sidelines. Let me see if I can find anything with him and Ime Udoka. Is there any sign that there's any sort of friction between him and Ime Udoka? And there's not. In fact, I think that Marcus might actually, they seem to get along just fine. I'm looking at, little interpersonal interactions, little things. How do they act when they pass each other in a moment before the game? Are they talking? Do they ignore each other? Those little things. Like, you have somebody at the office that you might not like, and so when you pass each other in the hallway, it's like, okay, yeah. And that's it. But if it's a buddy of yours or somebody that you're friendly with, somebody you get beers with afterwards or something like that, anywhere in that range, there's like a little, a joking tap, a little, hey, even a joke. Even if you've walked by each other a few times, you're like, oh, come on, whatever. Like, what are you following me? Like, stupid little jokes like that. you can see that in Smart. Like, I'm watching how he's interacting with people, and he's having normal, fine interactions. Like, I think Marcus, either I didn't read things the right. I still think that the role has been bothering him. But when I see him on the floor, he's trying to make it work. I see him with the duck on the sideline. I see how he's working with his teammates. I see him calling out coverages. I see him really like active and vocal. Like, I thought he had a really good defensive game. I thought his passing was spectacular in this game too. The alley-oop that he threw to Robert Williams just over half court, that was just, oh, on point. Great pass, great catch, great finish with the foul. Beautifully done all around. Marcus Smart with 6 assists. Thought he was really good. And like I said, in that fourth quarter stretch, when he and Tatum checked back in, Smart was doing it on the defensive end. Tatum was doing it on the offensive end. And they really were the ones who shut everything down. Still not shooting great, Marcus, but you know, hopefully that comes around. And if it doesn't, then hopefully the defense is at a really high level like it was in this game to make up for it. Dennis Schroeder, I don't know if you remember, if you were listening to the show the other day, when I said Schroeder always seems to have like the opposite. If you don't watch the game, your reaction should be, wow, Dennis Schroeder had 20 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds. Oh, he didn't play that great, right? It's the opposite. He has this opposite effect. But you look at the box score, it's 8 turnovers, and they were gross turnovers. Live ball turnovers, just fumbling it not even in a crowd turnovers. He's still, like I said, 20 points on 8 of 15 shooting. You'd think, wow, that's great. He did a lot of that in the first quarter. His first quarter numbers were 8 points on 3 of 5 shooting, 2 of 2 from 3, an assist, a rebound, no turnovers. Like in the first quarter, you're like, okay, yeah, okay, he's got it. Second half, though, was where he did, I think, the worst of his damage, 5 of his turnovers. He still shot okay, but 5 turnovers, and they were not great. So he played fine. He played fine, but the turnovers were just killers. And I guess that's the ups and downs with Schroeder. We're learning more about Schroeder as we go along. Josh Richardson is another guy that I watched this game and I'm like, okay, like Josh had some moments, and Ime Udoka is like thrilled about the Josh Richardson game. He had 3 steals. He had a blocked shot that was, they didn't give him credit for the blocked shot, but it's very obvious when you go to this box score in 24 hours, it'll probably be amended to have a blocked shot in there, because he definitely had one that he has stretches where it's like, okay, yeah, I see it. Then he has stretches where it's like, oh my God, why is he playing? Why is this guy even on the floor? I say this as I look at Romeo and Aaron Nesmith, and Nesmith didn't get much of a chance. He played, 7.5 minutes in this game? Seven minutes and 10 seconds. Romeo had a couple of shots early, but that was it. 2 of 3 from 3, and then he kind of wasn't doing much after that. And maybe he was struggling with the matchup. Maybe it was just a matchup thing. But Nesmith, this is a tough stretch for him. And as long as they're going with Josh Richardson for 32 minutes a game like they're doing in here, if they're going with Richardson for that much, then Nesmith is just not going to get that chance. And if you're not going to let Nesmith play through some things, then you might as well send him to the G League. As far as I'm concerned, like, might as well just, I feel like his confidence is potentially taking a hit. Now you talk to him and he says, I'm going to stay ready no matter what. And he says all the right things, but young guy, second year, feels like he's proven himself and he's not getting those opportunities. Played great against Miami, played terribly against Dallas. So it was, you know, a kind of a wash. Because you point to either one, whatever argument you want to make, you okay, yeah, he had a great game against Miami. The entire team did. He was not good at all against Dallas. And then here he is, he's not good in this game. And so I just want to see this kid get out there, get his shot going, get his shot falling. If he needs to take a day in Maine, if on, I don't know what the deal is, but if you need to send him to Maine and let him just get 20 shots up and take 15 three-pointers, then do it. Just do it. Pritchard, DNP, basically played garbage time. There's no room for Pritchard right now. And as I've explained before, he's just small. If they are going to switch, then he's going to get hunted. You can't play him next to Dennis Schroeder because they're both too small. You need to have some size next to Schroeder. So Pritchard, part of a numbers game. That's just what it is. All right. That's enough of the nitty-gritty here. I think this team has shown something over the past four games that they have not shown us for quite a long time, and that is actually some fight, some grit. We're seeing it, finally. And I'm going to talk about that when I come back. Today's episode is brought to you by McDonald's, proudly serving communities since 1965. It's always been more than just a place to get tasty, affordable food. It's a place where friends and family can come and reconnect. You know, you see these sports teams, these little league teams. There's nothing that inspires these kids more than, okay, if you win, we're going to go to McDonald's. And they go, oh, wow. Then everybody wants to win the game so they can go to McDonald's. It's a great stop for the kids. It's a great stop for a birthday game. It's a great stop if you just want to get out of the house, if you're working from home post-COVID. You want to grab your laptop, go sit there and grab one of their coffees, which is good and not expensive. You can sit there and do your work, and it's actually not that bad at all. So check out McDonald's, and who knows? Maybe someday we can have ourselves a Locked On Celtics watch party at McDonald's. I'm loving it. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. Thanks for making Locked On Celtics your first listen every day. How about making Locked On Fantasy Basketball your second listen every day? If you're playing fantasy basketball and you need some help, Josh Lloyd's got you covered. It's the best fantasy basketball show around. So check them out wherever podcast exists and on YouTube. So the Celtics, wouldn't you know it, aren't glass jaw crumple at the first sign of adversity types of guys after all. After a full season last year, COVID impacted whatever, where their will, their fight, their attitude, their grit, their whatever you want to call it, was all questioned, and it felt like rightly so. And at the beginning of the season, where the first five games, we were like, oh, this is the same thing. Now we are seeing that, hey, maybe they do have some fight. You go after they crumbled, absolutely disintegrated against Chicago, they go down in Florida and struggle a little bit in the first half against Orlando, and then let's go. Let's kick it. Then they go to Miami. They build a lead. Miami makes their third quarter run, and Boston shows some fight. Answers. They get down big in Dallas. Instead of crumbling, they show some fight. They come back. They take a fourth quarter lead. Okay, so Luka hits that game winner. That sucks, but they were right there and had a chance to win that game. Then against Toronto, fourth quarter, here's your 16-point lead, your 18-point lead, however big it got. All of a sudden, it's down to nine. It's down to single digits, and here they come. And or actually, you can go back to the second quarter where they get it down to two, and the Celtics respond. And they don't let these runs get to 11-2, 14-2 that we've seen, 18-0 that we've seen. Like those big, massive runs, the Celtics have been, at least over the past four games, preventing those, avoiding those. And there's a sign of, hey, these guys don't want, these guys actually want to play hard, and they actually have it within them to fight and play these games and play 48 minutes. And okay, so you have a 4-minute scoreless stretch. That doesn't mean you can't break out of it and win this game. And that's where I think the Celtics really struggled, is that, you know, each scoreless stretch just compounded itself. This year, at least right now, they seem to have it within them to say, okay, let's just calmly relax and we're going to score. We're just going to take our time. We're going to score. And this is what it is right here. It's composure. It's not some crazy, like I'm going to run through a brick wall type of thing. It's just the composure. Okay, they scored a few baskets on us. Let's not go crazy. We don't have to come down and hit a three-pointer to answer their 6-0 run. Just come down, work the offense. Let's get it into Al Horford. And Al has a mismatch. Let Al go work his mismatch. No problem. You hold him off. Tatum's out. Let's just hold him off for a little bit. Let's just let Tatum come back in. Tatum comes back in with Smart. And okay, no problem. I'll just use my star power and then boom, 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 it's over. Just and assists, not Tatum coming down and jacking up three-pointers, though we did hit 1 3-pointer. An assist, a three-pointer, and an assist. So working together to say, all right, what's the best thing we can do? How can we stop this run? How can we build this lead? How can we push forward here and close this thing out? And that's what they did. It's an important development. I think Ime Udoka is challenging them and getting something out of them. I think we're starting to see the little bits of the early struggles. We're starting to see the payoff a little bit. We're starting to see, hey, you know, yeah, Marcus Smart said what he said, and Ime was like, he did have the best thing, the best response, where he's like, I don't know what you guys are making a big deal about this. This is the same thing we've been saying since the beginning of the season. Like, yeah, he said it at a time that everybody was frustrated, but he didn't say anything that we haven't said. That was basically Udoka's reaction. And he's challenging these guys, and he's putting it on these guys to figure it out. I'm not saying that they figured anything out necessarily long-term. This is early, a four-game sample, but hey, how about a little bit of fight? A little bit of, you know, grit to say, we're not going to cave, you know, we're going to answer. We have answers for your runs. Considering where they were and that a bunch of these guys are the same guys, maybe the Toronto game, the first Toronto game, when we were questioning, these are the same guys that we had around here last year. And they're still doing this, then the onus has to be on Tatum, Brown, and Smart. And okay, Jaylen was out in this game, but still, the onus is on those guys. And for them to show a response is important. And I think it's valuable. The early adversity has proven itself to be valuable. You know, you can go one of two ways. When you have this level of adversity, you could be like, we're just going to dive into it and just goodbye. We're just going to let it wash us away. Or it's going to be like, how do we learn from this? How do we make this better? And the Celtics chose that path. I think it's a testament to the players on the team. It's a testament to the coaching staff. I think they're doing a wonderful job at it. Now, of course, I can say that again, November 11th, but can I say that on December 11th? Can I say that on January 11th? For now, it sounds good. I'm reacting to the immediate aftermath of one basketball game or a series of basketball games. And right now it feels good, feels better. They won. They're looking better doing it. Just keep it up. Just keep building on this and they'll be okay. I don't know what okay is ultimately going to look like, but trending in the right direction. So it's good. And then now they get the Milwaukee Bucks on Friday, who have been struggling. And maybe this is an opportunity to pick up a win against what's going to be a good team and one of the best teams. So I'll be back. I will not, unless there's anything, you know, egregious in those games Friday, Saturday. I'll cover all of that over the weekend on Monday. I'll have another podcast for you Friday. It's a Monday through Friday podcast. So please subscribe wherever you get your podcast. YouTube, please subscribe on YouTube. Really trying to build up that YouTube channel. So if you like watching things on YouTube, please, you can watch this show, put it in a tab, play it behind your work stuff, listen to it at work, whatever. But of course, I always ask you this, and it's very important, that you share the podcast and tell your friends that they should be listening to and watching the Locked On Celtics podcast. here on the Locked On Podcast Network.